Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly from the 11th of December, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world. Donors are required to save an ancient site in New Hampshire in the USA. SIALC reveals its 6,000-year-old secrets in Iran, and prehistoric boat-building site is found in New York State. The legendary hobbits may have been the earliest Australians, and ancient drought actually changed history itself. The cave paintings discovered in Britain have been dated to 12,800 years old, and the Irish government's chief archaeologist has been discovered to have no excavation experience whatsoever. Stonehenge is to open over Christmas, and a grant to bring Eden's Neolithic heritage to life has been awarded. An ancient mound has been discovered in Azerbaijan, and an Iron Age skeleton is found under the medieval ship at Newport. Ken White dreamed of finding evidence of ancient people in the White Mountains in New Hampshire, USA, and he was hiking with one of his two sons 2 years ago when his dream came true. He said he found a piece of stone artifact and was confident that he was onto something big. His intuition proved right. He discovered within weeks of his initial find a site archaeologists have agreed was used by prehistoric people to quarry hornfels, a black volcanic rock prized for its hardness and ability to be shaped. The quarry is located on the privately owned land on Mount Whittler's north face. White said he has struck a deal with the owners to be the first person eligible to buy a 50-acre parcel containing most of the site. But he added he can't afford to finish the transaction and will hope that a sponsor will step in. Apart from the stone chips that he's found at the site, he's also found two sections of Hornfell Spear Point, which is said to be dated between 3,500 and 5,000 BCE. While archaeologists maintain it's not made at the site, but was dropped there by a visitor, he disputes the conclusion. The discovery, he argues, proves Tamworth was an important tool-making area. Archaeologists will start the final season of excavations in the prehistoric Sialk Tepe site, which dates back to more than 8,000 years ago, and is one of the most important historical sites in Iran, located in Kashan city. The remains in this historical hill indicate that it was a residential area of many ethnic groups in the course of its history. Sialk was first excavated by Roman Grishman, a French archaeologist. During his excavations, Grishman unearthed a giant structure, which he called the Brick Structure of Sialk. Despite the previous plans, just the northern hill of Sialk will be excavated during the last season of excavations to study again the history of the 6th millennium BCE in Sialk, said Sagda Malik Shah Mirzadeh, head of the excavation team. Since the fourth season of excavations is focusing just on the northern hill, it seems that, like the previous years, there is no need for the attendance of foreign researchers at the site, explained Malik. Four excavation seasons in Sialk Tepe led to new discoveries about this prehistoric site. Some large clay jars, a giant earthenware monument such as a ziggurat, and the skeletons of a man and a girl who were probably buried under the debris due to an earthquake, and hundreds of other pieces of evidence that have been unearthed during the excavations. Grishman excavated Sialk very systematically, but the facilities for archaeological excavations were very limited for his time. Today, with the use of interdisciplinary studies, we can obtain more information about the life of the different ethnic groups during this prehistoric period. Since Sialk Tepe is now located inside the perimeters of Kashan city and many residential houses now surround it, the Cultural Heritage and Tourism Organization of Iran has presented a project to clear up the entire area. The newest discovery at the northern New York Army Post is a prehistoric boat-building site near what would have been the shoreline of glacial Lake Iroquois. A team at Fort Drum are archaeologists surveying a wooded hillside near where the Army is putting a new training site together unearthed an unusual-looking stone tool. With the help of a U.S. Marine archaeologist, the team was able to identify it as a triangular pointed reamer, a typical prehistoric boat-building tool. They also found a punch and other three-dimensional blade tools. The discovery was made halfway down on a sloping wooded hillside that ended with a sharp 100-foot plunge. At the time, it would have been a bay or an inlet and would have been a perfect place for building and launching boats. The site is estimated to be around 11,000 years old, around the time the first Indians arrived in what is now upstate New York. Two other sites have been found to strengthen the theory of a prehistoric maritime culture. Two hills, once islands in Lake Iroquois, have also yielded stone boat-building tools. In the middle of dense underbrush and in a thickly packed forest, one of the archaeological crews came across a sandy, rocky-strewn clearing that appears to have been a French Jesuit trading site with the Iroquois from around about the 1600s. The clearing was likely on a prehistoric trail. It looks like it was an encampment for traders. However, because the army currently has no development plans for this area, there's no reason for any further study. So the site, for just now, will remain a mystery. The tiny hobbit-like humans of Indonesia may have lived in Australia before they became extinct 11,000 years ago. This startling claim comes from the archaeologist Mike Morwood, leader of the team that in 2003 uncovered remains of the 1-metre-tall hominid at Liang Bao Cave in Indonesia's Flores Island. They believe the people, known officially as Homo floresiensis and unofficially as the hobbit, were wiped out by a volcanic eruption that spared their Homo sapien neighbours. Speaking at a public lecture in Perth, Professor Morwood from the University of New England in Armidale, New South Wales, raised the prospect that Homo floresiensis colonised Australia before Aboriginal settlers arrived about 60,000 years ago. He suggested that they may have been pushed out by the bigger people, in part because of their population being too small to compete. He suggested that further fieldwork at sites in Indonesia and northern Australia could provide answers. But one of Professor Morwood's colleagues on the discovery team was surprised by the notion of hobbits in Australia. Professor Bert Roberts, a dating expert from the University of Wollongong, said, "Call me a wet blanket, but I'm not sure where Mike thinks he's going to excavate, as conditions during northern Australia's wet season means that ancient remains are unlikely to survive." He noted that no early human remains have ever been found in northern Australia, and said that even the remains of giant prehistoric animals, the megafauna, were scarce. Scientists have identified a major climate crisis that struck Africa around 70,000 years ago, and which may have changed the course of human history. The evidence comes from sediments drilled up from the beds of Lake Malawi and Tanganyika in East Africa, and from Lake Bosumtwe in Ghana. It shows equatorial Africa experienced a prolonged period of drought. It is possible, scientists say, this was the reason some of the first humans left Africa to populate the globe. Certainly, those who remained on the continent at the time would have had to been extremely resilient to make it through such hard times. Dr. Schultz presented data from the drilling project at the meeting of American Geophysical Union. The cores reveal that prior to 75,000 years ago, Lake Malawi, which is currently an inland sea, some 550 kilometres long and 700 metres deep, was reduced to just a couple of pools no more than 10 kilometres across and 200 metres deep. Worse still was Lake Bosumtwe, currently a 10-kilometre-wide lake that fills an old space impact crater, and it had lost all its water. Only a prolonged continent-wide drought could have had this effect. What makes the timing so fascinating is that it also ties in with the Eve hypothesis of human evolution. Genetic studies suggest modern human society is descending from a group of around 10,000 individuals who lived in East Africa at the time of the crisis. Immediately after its end, human populations started to expand rapidly, and many of our ancestors began moving out of Africa and into the Middle East, Asia, and Europe. Scientists are increasingly convinced that tragedies in the deep past have shaped human evolution. The intriguing thought is that we owe our existence to a small band of survivors who clung on to life during a crisis of epic proportions, or who simply decided they had to move to find water. There may be a connection with the exodus of early modern humans out of Africa and this climatic release. Britain's first cave art is more than 12,800 years old, scientific testing has shown. Engravings of a deer and other creatures at Cresswell Crags in Derbyshire, England, have proved to be genuine Ice Age creations and not modern fakes as some had feared. The engravings were found in 2003 at two caves, Church Hole and Robin Hood's Cave, which lie close together in the Cresswell Gorge. Paleolithic occupation deposits dating to the last ice age were excavated there in 1875, but the art remained unnoticed. Although the most notable finds were from 15 to 13,000 years ago, even older tools were noted, some dating to the Middle Paleolithic between 60 and 40,000 years ago, others a few millennia later. If the art was genuine, therefore, it could belong to any one of these periods, although Middle Paleolithic art is still so rare as to be highly unlikely. There are no paintings like those at Lascaux and other noted French cave art sites, or, if there were, they have long since vanished. Many French sites, including Lascaux, have engravings also, and the Creswell art fits nicely into this category. The red deer and the stylized figures, which may be schematic woman, as at Gonersdorf near Cologne, or birds, fit into this continental category of art of the Magdalenian period, which ended around 10,000 years ago. There are also some enigmatic notches and other signs which seem to have been made by humans, but do not seem to form any coherent design. Alistair Pike of Bristol University and his colleagues have now shown that the Creswell art is genuine by analysing the thin film of stalagmite called flowstone, which has formed over the engraving since they were made. A process known as uranium series disequilibrium dating, which relies on the relatively insolubility of the radioactive element thorium-230 compared with uranium-234 and 238, can be used to date stalagmites back to around 500,000 years ago. And from this, they have concluded in Church Hole that the notches are more than 12,630 years old, and the females and birds are at least 12,800 years old, with 95% statistical confidence. This fits in with a series of recent radiocarbon dates run by Oxford University on cut bones and antler artefacts from the caves. The dates are minimal, the team say, noting that we cannot entirely rule out the possibility that the art is significantly earlier. One piece of portable art, an engraved bone from Pinhole Cave, seems to be from a species of woolly rhinoceros extinct since 20,000 years ago. However, a date between 13 to 11,000 years ago is the best fit with all the evidence. The discoveries are important in extending the known area of Magdalenian settlement considerably to the north and west, to the edge of the inhabited world then. Serious questions have reportedly emerged about the qualifications of the Irish government's chief archaeologist. Reports said that Brian Duffy, who advised the government on matters such as the controversial Tara motorway scheme, got the job in 2003, ahead of candidates with superior qualifications and experience. The reports say that Mr. Duffy had a general BA degree in archaeology, but no track record of archaeological excavations or publications. The latest revelation follows a recent controversy surrounding the Irish government's chief science advisor, who was moved to another job when it emerged that he received his PhD from a US university known to sell these qualifications over the internet. One of the world's most popular megalithic monuments is opening over the Christmas period for the first time in a decade. English Heritage says it is responding to visitor demand and opening Stonehenge to the public on Boxing Day and New Year's Day. The ancient monument will be open from 10 o'clock in the morning, with last admissions at 4 o'clock on both days. However, visitors will be restricted to the perimeter of the site and not allowed into the stone circle itself. Peter Carson, Stonehenge's director, said that they normally stay closed during the festive holidays, but coach tours still come in their droves and look at Stonehenge from the roadside, so it seemed important to have the site open for a few extra days over the holiday period. Eden District Council's Penrith Museum in England is celebrating news that they have been awarded over £24,000 from the Local Heritage Initiative, a scheme run by the Countryside Agency on behalf of the Heritage Lottery Fund and the Nationwide Building Society. The funding will allow the museum to run a series of events during 2006, aimed at broadening awareness of and accessibility to prehistoric heritage in the Vale of Eden. This area is a major focus for Neolithic and Bronze Age monuments, including stone circles, henges, burial cairns and rock art sites. The project aims to forge new interest in these monuments that have survived for over 4,000 years. Working with local communities is an important part of the project, and living among the monuments will facilitate a unique opportunity for local people to interact with their prehistoric heritage. There will be a season of educational events and experiences centred on an interpretative exhibition that will run from the 14th of April to the 31st of October 2006. In addition, the museum will organise a major field walking survey, publish the results, and hold two finds workshops to facilitate access to any finds. There will be guided walks to key prehistoric sites and a free informative booklet providing an overview of heritage information and places to visit. Teachers' packs will be distributed to all Eden primary schools, and the museum will run a series of school workshops. Together, these events will enable the public to become directly involved with the interpretation of their prehistoric past on an unprecedented level, from the act of discovery through to publication. Further details can be found on the LHI website, that's www.lhi.org.uk, or by contacting Gillian Woodcock on 01768 895 931. That was 01768 895 931. As a result of the archaeological dig in the territory of Agstafa region, through which the Baku-Tbilisi-Ceyhan oil and South Caucasus gas pipeline passes, scientists from the Institute of Archaeology and Ethnography of the Azerbaijan National Academy of Sciences have discovered ancient mound dating back to the 4th millennium BCE. The finding, considered to be one of the most ancient of its kind in southern Caucasus, testifies that the tradition of manufacturing burial stones first began in Azerbaijan, and then later spread to the northern Caucasus. And finally, workmen have discovered the remarkably well-preserved skeletal remains of an Iron Age man beneath the medieval ship buried in the banks of the River Usk in Newport, South Wales. Tests carried out on the bones, which were found back in December 2002, have shown that they actually date back to 170 BCE. This makes the skeleton around 1,500 years older than the 15th century ship it was found under. The Iron Age man is thought to have been around 5 foot 9 inches tall and very muscular, especially around his upper torso, probably right-handed, and in his late 20s or early 30s when he died. Experts carried out radiocarbon dating on the bones, which were found underneath wooden struts supporting the medieval ship, as workers carried out an excavation of the orchestra pit for the city's riverfront theatre and arts centre. The ancient bones were examined by Dr. Ross Cord from the University of Wales at Lampeter's Department of Archaeology and Anthropology, together with a research student, Alison Bennett. Dr. Cord said that the body was probably buried quickly after his death. This helped preserve the bones as natural bacteria were unable to take hold. The skeleton, minus the head, was found underneath the wooden struts of the ship. The Iron Age is known to be a time of ritual deposition into rivers, and there are many archaeological examples of this happening. Interestingly, from a British context, it is most of the heads that are recovered. The Newport body is a very rare example of a body minus the head. Archaeologists have concluded that the man's body may have been deliberately placed in the channel. At the time of the find, it was actually thought that the man had died in an industrial accident at the time he was trying to salvage the boat. When the ship was first found, thousands of people flocked to Newport to see it as it lay in the banks of the River Usk. There were fears that the ship would be broken up and not preserved, but a £3.5 million grant was given to the Welsh Assembly government to fund the restoration. The City Council is continuing to seek further funding from other bodies, such as the Heritage Lottery Fund, to continue the preservation of the ship. No other seagoing vessel of this size and date survives as completely as the Newport ship. New archaeological and heritage opportunities, as well as UK Heritage Calendar, Library Section and Courses Index, can be found at Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can still be found at Stonepages. That's news.stonepages.com. Thank you very much for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.